श्री गणेशाय नमः। ओम श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। सच्चिदानंद रूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादि हेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्री कृष्णाय वयं नमः। श्री कृष्णाय वयं नमः। वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानंदं कृष्णं वंदे जगद्गुरुं। कृष्णं वंदे जगद्गुरुं। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवं परमानंदमाधवं। ओम वांग मे मनसि प्रतिष्ठिता मनो मे वाचि प्रतिष्ठितम् आविरावीर्महेधी वेदस्य माणिस्थः श्रुतं मे मा प्रहासीहि अनेनाधीतेन अहोरात्रान् संदधामि ऋतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्माम अवतु तद्वक्तारमवतु अवतु माम अवतु वक्तारमवतु वक्तारम्। ओम शांति शांति ही शांति ही। सदा शिव समारंभाम शंकराचार्य मध्यमाम अस्मदाचार्य पर्यंताम वंदे गुरु परंपराम श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानाम आलयं करुणालयं। नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं। सूत्र भाष्य कृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्ति भेद विभागिने व्योमवत् व्याप्त देहाय श्री दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्री दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्री दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्री कृष्ण गोविंद हरे मुरारे हे नाथ नारायण वासुदेवा जिह्वे पिबस्वामृतमेतदेव गोविंद दामोदर माधवेति। हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति। हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति। हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति। Supreme Consciousness Bhagwan Krishna, in the process of expounding upon the two kinds of intellects, which Bhagwan calls it as really the wonderful intellectual achievement for a man to reach. Bhagwan in this, in its order, says is about these two things, that the pinnacle of achievement of these two intellects, the results which such an intellect is going to achieve, which are the two intellects I am talking about, the intellect filled with the knowledge of Karma Yoga and the intellect filled with the knowledge of Sankhya Yoga or Jnana Yoga or the knowledge of Supreme Consciousness. So Bhagwan says, as an achievement which this person, these people with this such kind of intellect are going to achieve, that's what Bhagwan has explained in the verse number 52 and 53. And when he talks about that, what is the ripened state of such an intellect, or what is the state, what is the fruit which this intellect is going to bear, what are the fruit which are ready to be born by this kind of an intellect who achieves the pinnacle of both these kind of intellects, either, you know, the one who has achieved the intellect of Karma Yoga or the knowledge of Karma Yoga, and the one who has achieved the knowledge of or attained the knowledge of Supreme Consciousness or the Sankhya Yoga. While explaining this, Bhagwan says is that, you know, a person who follows Karma Yoga and he diligently follows and consistently follows the knowledge of Karma Yoga which he has gained, adopts that thing in his life, in the inside of such a person, this person will see that this person has crossed over the mire of delusion, which Bhagwan called as Moha Kalila. And the moment this intellect of such a person crosses over the mire of you know, delusion, on the other shore of that, this intellect of such a person attains or meets something called dispassion in life. Dispassion in life, what Bhagwan is talking about here, is not for 1, 2, 3, or 4 objects or few things in this whole creation. It's not for those things which are prohibited by Shastra, which is called Nishiddha. It's not for few of the vihit, objects also, for vihit things also. Vihit means those which are allowed by your scriptures. It's not for few things out of those which are allowed to us also. It's not for that alone. It is for whatever you can perceive through your Pratyaksha Pramana and through the Shabda Pramana in this whole cosmos. Whatever can be experienced by the senses in this whole creation, this person attains dispassion for all those things. This person attains dispassion, feels no desire towards them, does not feel any excitement factor in those objects, in the objects of this creation, which can and set this person into, you know, choosing them as his or her own goal. His or her own goal is very clear. God alone is the goal. These objects or the things and, you know, situations or you know, the name, fame of this whole creation, they are merely things to be used by me in the passage of moving towards God, but ultimate goal is God alone. These things are only facilitating factors for me to lead my life. They are the factors which fulfill my needs through the life so that I am able to maintain this body, mind and intellect in this creation, since they are also made from these Pancha Mahabhut, or these five great elements in this creation. So I told you in the last session and the last session also, their fulfillment will happen from the objects which are created by these five great elements. So, you know, while going through them, while fulfilling the needs of the body, mind and intellect, I don't lose the focus on the goal. My soul, which I really call it as my Atma, its fulfillment cannot be achieved by these five great elements or any objects of these five great elements. Why? Because it is not made from them. As I told you, since body, mind and intellect is composed of or made out of these five great elements, their aspects in different combinations, their aspects. So their fulfillment also happens to be from them. But the soul has not been made out of the five great elements, so its fulfillment also cannot be from the objects and things made out of these five elements. its fulfillment is only from the supreme consciousness, and that is what spiritual calling is all about. So Bhagwan says, as this person moves around on the, you know, ladder of achievement in karma yoga, this person starts to get dispassion for all the objects which can be comprehended or can be sensed by our five senses. Means his intellect is full of dispassion towards everything, which is what Bhagwan mentioned as shrotavyasya shrutasya cha. Shrutasya means those things which have already been heard, already been seen, already been experienced. And shrotavya means all those which have not yet been heard, but you know, we can think that they are worthy to be heard upon, heard about. And maybe from the scriptural standpoint also, when scriptures talk about different achievement lokas, as you know, Vaikunth loka, Swarga loka and all other lokas. And also, oh, maybe at the worldly level also, which people talk about, you know, if you do this, you will achieve this position. If you become this, these are the kind of benefits you get. So Bhagwan is saying this person gets dispassion towards all these things which can be known from the pratyaksh pramana, or the pratyaksh pramana means those can be which can be sensed by the five senses of ours, or which can be known by the shastra pramana, or even the worldly kind of proofs we have, or worldly kind of discussions we have. This person gains dispassion towards all of them. His intellect, his or her intellect reaches such a state due to the wisdom which has opened up in such a person, that this person knows very clearly what amongst this entire thing needs to be chosen as a goal, what need to be only used as a transitionary need fulfillment. That's all. Don't get stuck in them. I'm just giving you an example. You know, you may have earned a lot of money, you may have a lot of wealth, but what use is that wealth if it cannot give you 2-3 things in life? What? One is, it cannot lead you to, you know, go for your spiritual growth. That's number one. Number two, it cannot lead you to earn punya. What use is wealth then? Number three, it cannot lead you to create relations and name and fame around you. What use is money if it cannot be done for these three things at all? The biggest achievement of all the wealth we earn is primarily two things: earning punya, because that's going to help us in a lot of places. It's going to, you know, give us help where we do not expect any, where we do not expect any help at all also. And also, it's going to set you onto the trajectory of vertical growth, which is called spiritual growth. That is what is actually the real state of such a person. And that, you know, this person attains that level, it attains such a, different aspect, different nature. His or her intellect attains such a different nature and different character at that standpoint. And such a power appears in such a person that, you know, in that person's intellect feels no excitement towards any objects in this creation. None of the objects is, you know, this person feels that they are worthy to be chosen as a goal in life. Nishphalam prapadyate. Nishphalam means, don't think that, you know, any of the fruits which are coming out of any of the actions here are something which excite me. My excitement is in the actual devotion to God, in the, you know, process of moving inch by inch, even if it is inch by inch, towards God. It's only in the closeness of God, the company of God, I really cherish, I really enjoy. And my only endeavor in life is, through all the actions, God may have given me any responsibility, all responsibilities are given by God only, but my endeavor is, though that one who is actually the creator of this whole cosmos, that supreme consciousness, Bhagwan Krishna, who is the one who is managing through all this creation, my purpose is to reach the creator, not get stuck in the objects which are created by him. So remember, you know, if we can generate this wisdom, we can generate this clarity in our intellect, we can attain this clarity in our intellect, that the creator is the only one who is worthy to be chosen. Rest all the things can only be, you know, intermediary need fulfillment for my antakarana and my body, gross and my subtle equipments, only in the passage of life. And while getting engaged in them also, I should have this very clear that not even there should be a moment in life when my sight to the actual attainment of lotus feet of God should ever be missed. And that's exactly what Bhagwan Krishna is trying to give as a message through this particular verse. Because at the level of body, mind and intellect, these things will come to us according to our prarabdha, and we may have to use them also, but don't get stuck in them is what Bhagwan is trying to tell us. They are only to be used for moving through the passage of life. I'm making it clear again and again. They cannot be chosen as the ultimate goal at all. That's exactly what Bhagwan is trying to say. And you know, when I told about the story of Nachiketa also, when he went to meet the Lord of Death in the Mrityuloka, in the, you know, loka of death, the place of death, when he reached that at state, reached there, he waited for Mrityu Devta. When he came, that this child has been waiting for me for so many days without food and water, he felt that I should give some boon to them. Thought that it's a child, you know, he's just a child of 5 years. What big thing is going to ask? But Nachiketa was very clear. After coming here, it will be such a waste of time if I go back from here by, you know, back full of things given by you to be enjoyed in the world. I don't think they are to be chosen in life at all. When I've come here and I've got the opportunity to meet you, let me ask you the question which can free me from this birth and death, because you are the Lord of Death. You know this secret, you please share that secret with me. And since I've come here and I met such a big person who is like, you know, the in charge of the whole world of death, that who manages the death for the entire creation, I don't think that I'll go empty handed anyway. It'll be a waste of time and waste of effort and waste of boon if I end up asking you worldly things out of the three boons you have given me. So my question is very clear to you, O Lord of Death, that please answer me, what is actually the self and what is actually freedom from birth and death? And you know, Mrityu, the Lord of Death, was really surprised by this child, tried to entice this child by different things of the creation, like we try to, you know, pacify a child by giving, you know, new toys and all. But Nachiketa was very, very firm in what he came in for. He said, Varas tume varaniyasa eva. Among all that things which can be chosen in this whole cosmos, he alone is the one which is worthy to be chosen. He alone is the one where all our efforts should actually go. All the other things are in the passage of life. And it is said when Nachiketa returned back to the actual world, you know, he asked a couple of things also whenever we take up Kathopanishad, I'll take it up from there. But he said that, you know, he had a very, very comfortable life of here, but very clear focus that this is what my end goal is. That's exactly what Bhagwan and Krishna, Supreme Consciousness Bhagwan Krishna, is trying to tell us, that let this body fulfill its need, let this is, you know, antakarana, go through these objects, these situations, these pair of opposites of, you know, sukha and dukkha, sorrow and happiness, or happiness and sorrow, let me put it in the same order, which I said, sukha, happiness, sorrow, dukkha, let it go through them, all of them, but whatever it is, my sight should always be at the Supreme Consciousness, my sight should only be at that which is worthy to be chosen amongst all these things. So, in this pinnacle, Bhagwan said, and in the previous verse, which is 52, that Arjun, when a person reaches this level, trust me, that is the state I will call as that, you know, his karma yoga, his or her karma yoga is ready to bear fruit. That is the fruition point of karma yoga, of what this person has followed throughout the life after attaining the knowledge of karma yoga, which Bhagwan calls as yoga buddhi. So you will see that after coming to this point, now Bhagwan in the next verse, which we started in the last session, 53, Bhagwan is also trying to give, Supreme Consciousness Bhagwan Krishna is also trying to tell us, is trying to show us the fusion point of what a person who from Karma Yoga falls into Sankhya Yoga, or you know, comes into Sankhya Yoga and leads a life of Sankhya Yoga, or realizes the self, what is the fusion point of that person, Bhagwan is trying to explain in the verse 53. Just remember one thing, up to verse 53, Bhagwan has already expounded the topic, whatever he needed to explain. So he is culminating his logical explanation in the verse 53 by showing the pinnacle of achievement of a man, of realization, what this person is going to achieve at the end of, you know, reaching the fusion point of Sankhya Yoga is what verse 53 is all about. We started the verse in the last session. We will take it further today. Let's read the verse first, and then I will read Bhagwan Shankaracharya's Bhashya, and then we will go into the further meaning of this particular verse. Verse number 53.
Shruti vipratipannate yadasthasyati nischala samadhavachala buddhihi tadayogama vapsyasi. Shruti vipratipannate yadasthasyati nischala samadhavachala buddhihi तदा योगम वाप्स्यसि. श्रुति विप्रतिपन्ना अनेक साध्य साधन संबंध प्रकाशन श्रुति भी श्रवण ही विप्रतिपन्ना नाना प्रतिपन्ना श्रुति विप्रतिपन्ना विक्षिप्ता सती ते तव बुद्धि ही यदा यस्मिन् काले स्थास्यति स्थिरीभूता भविष्यति निश्चला विक्षेप चलन वर्जिता सती समाधौ समाधीयते चित्तम अस्मिन् इति समाधि आत्मा तस्मिन् आत्मनि इति एतत् अचला तत्रापि विकल्प वर्जिता इति एतत् बुद्धि अंतकरणम् तदा तस्मिन् काले योगम अवाप्स्यसि विवेक प्रज्ञां समाधिं प्राप्स्यसि.
Let's see the literal meaning of this verse first before we go to the detailed explanation and from where we left last time. Bhagwan Krishna, Supreme Consciousness Bhagwan Krishna says in this verse, O Arjun, when your intellect, though perplexed by what you have heard, shall stand immovable and steady in the self, then you shall attain self-realization. Now remember, there are a couple of things I want to point out first before I go further into the verse. When Bhagwan used the word here towards the end of this particular verse, that yogam avapsyasi, remember that yogam avapsyasi is not that this person has attained karma yoga. Then the word yogam avapsyasi is not corresponding to karma yoga at all. There yogam means this person has attained realization, or attained perfect unison with the Supreme Consciousness, the Self. So Bhagwan says the pinnacle of achievement of a person who has attained Sankhya Yoga, who has understood the nature of the Supreme Consciousness and realized the Self and come to stand in realization of the Self, that person is the one who we actually called that attained realization, which usually translate into the word called moksha. I told you some time back also, but I'm just repeating you here to just bring your attention back, that when we use this word moksha, moksha is also understood very, very differently depending upon which philosophy you follow. Okay. The purest definition, or the purest form, or the true definition of the word moksha comes from the meaning which is expounded in Advaita Vedant, where moksha stands for realization of the self or attaining unison with the self. What do you mean by attaining unison with the self or realization of the self? Means our BMI along with vasana cease to exist. Who is actually taking birth again and again, again and again, again and again? Actually, soul is the center of everything, but actually the thing which is taking birth again and again is actually vasana along with mind and intellect, or antakarana along with pancha prana, the five vital air, you know, and then pancha jnanendriya, the five organs of knowledge, pancha karmendriya, the five organs of action. These 19 things are the one along with vasana which is going through the cycle of birth and death, birth and death, birth and death. Now remember one thing, when I say this, I'm just trying to highlight, pinpoint for you to think, not explaining you too much in detail, because I've said this somewhere before also, and this topic will come again and again, so we'll pick it up there also. When we say sukha and dukkha, who is experiencing sukha and dukkha? It's actually antakarana. But what is the role of the soul here, or the self? Without self, antakarana has no existence. But actually, self does not bear the result of anything. Self does not bear anything, because it's a eka shanta atma. It's the one peaceful self. It has got nothing to do with any action, but without it, action can't be done. And I think I just bring back to your memory the example which I gave. Don't take it verbatim or literally comparison to that, but I have to explain you from the worldly example, so I'm explaining it. Like petrol in a car, you know, if a car meets with an accident, you can't blame the petrol, but without petrol, car won't run also. Actually, when the accident happens, the person to be blamed is going to be the driver. Driver is what? Antakarana. Antakarana is the driver. Vasana manifests within us in terms of our nature or reactions. Pujya Gurudev calls it personal call of character as vasana. It's a very beautiful way to say. You know, when we react into certain situations, where does our reaction come from? Where does it come from? It comes from our past vasanas. You know, my vasana, according to my vasanas, I'll react to one situation in some way. Somebody else reacts to that same situation in some different way. It completely depends on vasana. Where the role of spirituality comes, when we start to gain spirituality in the BMI chart, intellect starts to become powerful, then intellect does a job that it doesn't leave at the level of reactive action at the level of mind or reactive mode of mind. Rather, it takes back every situation within, makes an effort to think over it first before coming up with the action. Now remember, when the buddhi thinks over it also, there is definitely a role of our vasana there also. But when the buddhi thinks, there is a bigger role of the culture we attain in this life, which is spiritual culture and all, that can neutralize the vasana's input there and can give us a meaningful action out of the whole thing. That's why when sometimes we think, and you know, probably you, even if you react some places, when you think over it later on, you will, and many a times you will think that, you know, I don't think I should have reacted that way, you know. Wasn't it too harsh on my side? Because now you are sitting down and thinking. The thing what spirituality tells us is, you are in no hurry to react. There is no hurry. Nobody has kept a gun on your head to say, react now. You always have the choice to take back, think over it and come up with action. That is the entire purpose of giving you an intellect. The purpose of intellect is that. The thing is, many people live at the level of mind, at the level of reactive. The whole life they are doing that. So, Bhagwan says, Arjun, Shruti Vipratipannate, Yada Sthasyati Nischala. You know, whenever your intellect, though perplexed by what you have heard from where? Heard from the scriptures in terms of Karmakand, and also, so we can call it heard from Shruti. Either you can hear it from Shruti, or you can also hear it from Janashruti. Janashruti means what people around you talk about. No, when people or some people come to home and say, you know, I would recommend, you know, your kid should go into this. This is a very good area. These all starts to actually overpower our intellect. They starts to guide our intellect. Because we give power to everyone. I keep telling one thing to you very honestly. Huh? It is very important choice we must make in our life. You must choose your source. Please make an effort to choose your source. Why? You know, our scripture says very clearly, scripture should be studied from only a, you know, Shrotriya Brahmanist Guru. Why? Because that Shrotriya Brahmanist Guru is not telling you his interpretation, telling you how the Shruti wants, what Shruti wants to tell you, what scripture wants to tell you, what Bhagwan Krishna wants to tell you from the Bhagavad Gita. So here Bhagwan and Krishna says, Shruti Viprati Panna Te Tava Buddhihi Yadas Thasyati Nishchala. Te means your intellect. When you know your intellect, amongst all those things which you have gathered as information in your mind and intellect till today, by way of different levels of achievement which can be attained in this life while living here, both physically, also physically means in this particular world which is seen and experienced also, and also in the afterworld achievements. And I was trying to tell you, when we say moksha, sorry, I left that definition there and I'll pick it up now to explain you. Moksha in the Advaita Vedanta definition means actually a perfect unison with the self, or realizing the self, or becoming one with the self, where the mind and intellect along with vasanas are dropped here, or they cease to exist here. But in the other philosophies, when they call moksha, they are actually talking about attainment of different lokas, attainment of different worlds, like Swarga Loka. They call that, you know, attaining Swarga is also moksha. Many philosophies explain that. Yes, when you call it in comparison with this worldly life, yes, they are higher. That's why they are called as attainment of moksha. That definition of moksha is like when you attain a higher, that also translates into moksha. So those lokas or those worlds which are attained, like I told you, Swarga Loka, you know, Brahma Loka, where Vaikuntha Loka, Shiv Loka and all those lokas come, or the worlds come. Those attainments are definitely, you know, coming to us after a lot of hard work here, after a lot of efforts being put up here. They are definitely higher level of achievements. In that translation, they can be called moksha, how the other philosophies expound upon. But literally speaking, they are all punaragamana lokas. Punaragamana loka means from there, all of us have to return at some point in time. The time may differ. The period of time of stay, depending upon world to world, as they go higher, it differs. But they are all worlds where the person or jiva who goes has to return back to this particular world back. But realization is what? No. When one merges into the Supreme Self, that person, actually, to be honest with you, then there is no point calling that as a person. The identity of a person is also gone. And this is individual. Actually, I'm calling it only, see how much difficulty it is becoming to explain you in English. This individual who was an individual till now has merged into the self, means become one with the self, means become the all pervading self in this whole cosmos. You know, that's exactly what Pujya Gurudev and our great masters, Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji and all, have been expounding about Sankhya Yoga till now. So Bhagwan says, hey Arjun, te buddhi yada sthasyati nishchala. When your intellect will become firm means what? It will stop wavering, it will stop, you know, getting disturbed. It will stop running here and there. It will stop moving here and there. It will stop getting deluded forever. When it will become nishchal, it will be free from any kind of waverings, free from any kind of movement. Bhagwan says, Bhagwan here is actually calling into all of us. He is inviting all of us. He is instructing all of us to develop such an intellect. He is showing his desire that we all must make an effort to, you know, carve out such an intellect which is firm in the self. Why? Because intellect is not firm means what? Let me explain you the situation when the buddhi is chala. Here Bhagwan is talking nischala, you know, achala. Bhagwan is using two word here. Achala also means free of movement. Nischala also, nischala means firm, and you know, firm in one particular place. What do you mean by chala buddhi? What do you mean by a intellect which keeps moving? What do you mean by an intellect which keeps wavering? What do you mean by an intellect which actually is you know, deluded? Now, intellect moves is because there still exists doubt inside you. You are still at a state where you have not come to final resolution of the understanding. You have not resolved all the doubts inside you. Means what? What do you mean by doubt inside you? Means there are two, you know, it's like a crossroad. There are two paths standing in you. There are two ways is which are, you know, appearing in your intellect. And remember, it's not just that there are two paths appearing, there are two ways appearing in your intellect. You also have this is an intellect that both of them are right. That's the you know, way to explain chala buddhi. Intellect feels that both paths are correct. There is mahatva buddhi, there is importance, you know, given to both the paths there. That's why mind or intellect is not at a state to give up one. How will you move to one path when there are two paths standing and you have importance and tied to both of them? Of course, your intellect won't be able to leave any one of them. Which means what? You will always remain in that position of doubt. You don't know where to go. How will you decide? How will you come to a conclusion that, you know, this is a path to be chosen? Mind or intellect will keep wavering. I'll go this path and let's see. We'll go a little distance and come back and say, now let me try this path. How long will you do that? Bhagwan says, Arjun, I am calling you. It is very important for you to carve out your intellect in such a way that it stands firm in one particular path. When I say path means what? We have to firm our faith. Today our faith is varied into many of them. We feel that world is also important. We feel God is also important. We have given importance to both of them. It can't be. If you give importance to world, let me tell you, God will always be away from you. But remember the other side of it. If you give importance to God, God knows that you have to live in this world till the time this body falls. World will not run away from you. Remember that. When we see people who do spiritual, you know, work, people who do spiritual teachings, or, you know, who help people follow spiritual path and gain spiritual clarity, do you think that they will be like, you know, oh, begging on the road, or, you know, will be high and dry, will be devoid of everything on the world? No, God will make it available because they are doing God's work. That's the beauty of the work for God. If you choose God as your goal, trust me, the world also will not be dropped. That doesn't mean that you hold on to the world. I'm not saying you don't have to hold on to the world. The world will keep running after you till the time your body is here. But if you leave God and hold on to the world, definitely you are going to lose out on God for sure. Because world has got so many distractions, so many things that, you know, your intellect is filled with the thoughts of the objects and other things in the world. You know, just think, you've lived so much amount of years of your life already. Just think that how many objects your mind must have already run after. And after getting them, how long did the mind stably stand at one place? It just keeps wavering. That's the nature of mind. Bhagwan says, Arjun, understand there is a very, very important step which we all need to attain. That is to firm our intellect on one particular path. Amongst all that which is explained and expounded about in the world of achievements, in the world as achievements, by both Shruti and by people and, you know, our society around us, we have to come and make a firm resolve to hold on to something. The world is in an ever-growing form. When I'm using the word growing, you know, the growth also, the world, I do not know to what level to explain you here. But remember, the kind of growth we are seeing today is actually technically not a growth, just because you have new technologies to help you, you know, do your work, new technologies to free you from your work. Actually speaking, at the level of intellect, we are all going down only. With these kind of facilities which are there, like I give you one example, but you know, don't point out as, you know, good or bad or anything. I'm only giving for the sake of example. If the intelligence become artificial, what will happen to the real intelligence? Do you think that the real intelligence should remain redundant and artificial should take you over? I'm sorry, that's not the kind of growth we talk about. Growth means what? Growth means I should make an effort and I must succeed in my attempt to walk and grow vertically. That is the kind of achievement which Bhagwan is talking about. Arjun, at the level of mind, at the level of body, you know, these things, if you see, if you have a doubt at the level of mind or body also, that itself is not a right thing to be, you know, in. It's not a right situation to be. At the level of, just think for a moment, even if you have a doubt or you know, unclear things at the level of body or mind also, do you think it's a good thing? How will the intellect decide which to choose? Isn't that what is happening today? We have moved through so many objects and so many things in the world. Have we really come and you know, to a position to find peace? Is our mind at peace or is our mind more disturbed than before? Achievement doesn't mean that you are more disturbed than and before. Then, you know, if your mind is more disturbed than and before, do you really call it as an achievement? Achievement is what? You become free after reaching there. I'll use one word which Pujya Swami Subhadananji used to very profoundly, Pujya Guruji Swami Subhadananji used to very profoundly say. In scriptural world, we say, a guru is successful when the disciple or the student who has studied under that guru becomes free after reaching a certain point. Guru's work is actually to make the student free, not to make the student dependent on the guru. There is, you know, a Sadguru will always make an effort that the student should become free. Freedom is what guru is going to get you. Free means what? I am free from all kind of dependencies, including guru. Of course, I may need to be dependent on guru for attaining my knowledge till the end. But guru's endeavor will be always what? To make you free from everything, including the guru. You know, he used to use one more word. He says, the way I feel it today is, a doctor is successful when can a doctor be called as successful? Only when the patient is free from doctor. Or when a patient reaches a level that he or she does not need doctor at all. That is the actual success of a doctor. Doctor's purpose is not to make you dependent throughout life if on them. You know, that's the actual kind of a fruition point of a particular work. Guru is what? A guru is the one who would want to make you free in life. If our intellect is filled with doubts or has some things which are unclear, how will the intellect decide? It won't be able to decide which act to do. At the level of body and mind also, you see, when you have doubt regarding certain things, what does it actually translate to? It stops you from acting. How will you act unless and until you have clarity? So, you know, when I opened the WhatsApp group also, I told everyone, the purpose is only for clearing your doubts which come across in terms of general spirituality and the podcast episodes which are uploaded. Why? Because that's an effort I can contribute towards. That's an effort I can, you know, make my time available for, that I can clarify your doubts. Because otherwise, podcast will become one thing channel, you know, one way channel that you hear and you sit down, think over it and, you know, clarify your own doubts. So my availability is actually coming from the WhatsApp group and other groups also. So the purpose is what? To clear your doubt so that your buddhi, your intellect can set out into action. Doubts are something which stops us from acting. It stops us from performing. It, that's what is seen in the normal common parlance of the world also. That the chala buddhi or the intellect which keeps wavering means what? It's a intellect which is filled with doubts, or it is an intellect which is actually has doubts which are yet uncleared, unresolved. That means in front of such an intellect, there are many, many paths which are standing. There are many, many ways which are standing. And on all those paths or all those ways, this intellect has got importance attached to each one of them. That's why, you know, not even one path is clearly visible to such a person to be, you know, just set out into action. All the paths are filled with confusion for that. Doesn't know which one to follow. That's why this person feels none of them are worthy to be left out. All the paths, all the ways are important. Maybe some of them are less important, some of them are more important, but I'm not talking about that. But all of them seems important. The moment you attach this fact called importance to them, that means they cannot be left out. Simple as that. It is immaterial whether some are more important, some are less important, that may be there. But as far as the word important is attached to them, that means you cannot leave them. Just think in life also, there are things which may be troubling us. But as far as the importance is attached to it, we are not able to leave it. Even if things which were troubling us. I'm just giving you one small example. You know, in the medical world I'm talking about. Yes, all the, you know, equipments of our body, all organs of our body are important. Just think, if somebody's leg is in such a position, like gangrene and all comes, that because of the leg, other parts are getting, you know, decayed or being poisoned. Does that man not, or you know, it may take a time to decide upon it, but at the end, when it seems that it's not curable and other things are getting impacted, does that man, even though how much important leg and other every organ of the body is for that person, does that person not decide to ampute that leg or that organ? Isn't that not what we do today? But the thing is, as far as importance is attached to it, it becomes very difficult for us to leave. It becomes very difficult for us to actually drop that. It becomes very difficult for us to firmly or diligently follow one path. The moment you follow one path, because you have importance attached to the others, your intellect will feel, I think, am I really going to get it? I hope I have decided it right, you know. Do you think I am going to achieve? Or should I drop this and follow the other one? These things will stop your pace. It will block your pace. It will stop you from putting all your efforts diligently. It will stop you from putting in full concentrated effort on one path. And now see, this is the understanding about the chala, achala or nischala buddhi and versus the chala buddhi. Chala buddhi versus the nischala and achala buddhi I'm talking about. Now Bhagwan is talking about, he spoke about this buddhi now. In what subject Bhagwan is saying that, you know, he's asking us to have a firm intellect? That word comes in the, you know, second portion, the second half of, or the third quarter of this verse. Bhagwan says, samadhau. Now, the word samadhau, we need to understand in the context of the verse. I told you when I was explaining the verse, Sanskrit, you know, not about Sanskrit also, every word in every language also has got multiple meanings. In Sanskrit especially, one dhatu may have many meanings. So, why Guru is also required to tell us according to the verse, according to the context which is going, what is the meaning we have to pick up. If you just go back, you know, few verses, I think it was in, Bhagwan said, no? Samadhau. In the verse 44, Bhagwan said, Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam taya pahrita chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhihi samadhau na vidhiyate. And what did Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji, you know, gave the definition of samadhau there? Bhagwan says, Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji, he said there, samadhau samadhiyate asmin purushopabhogaya sarvam iti samadhihi antakaranam buddhihi. There the word samadhav meant buddhihi antakaranam. But here the word samadhi does not mean in, you know, antakaranam. Here the word samadhi actually, according to the context, means the self. Atma. Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji is also given in the meaning here. Samadhihi atma. Tasmin atmani iti etat. In his Bhashya, Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji has also given this definition here. Here you have to take the contextual meaning, because Bhagavan is talking about a man of realization here. Man of realization means the one who has attained the self, the one who has reached the self. So if you take that meaning, where will that person's mind or intellect become firm? In the subject of Atmani, in the subject of Atman, in the subject of Supreme Consciousness, in the subject of Self. So here Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji says, Samadhi Chittam Asmin Iti Samadhi, where after reaching a point where your intellect becomes quietened, there are no more disturbances left. There are no more objects which excites this individual, which excites this jiva or attracts this jiva towards that object. Where intellectual level is so quietened that the thoughts cease to exist, or there are very, very few thoughts, or even if there are thoughts, the thought is of the self alone. The intellect is pervaded by only single pointed thought of the Supreme Consciousness, the self, where the intellect becomes samahit. Samahit means becomes quietened, and that quietened feeling or that quietedness is only possible when the intellect becomes firm or reaches the self or the reaches the Atma. So Bhagavan is making a clarion call here that in the subject of self, this intellect reaches a place where it becomes nischala. It reaches a place where it's free from all kind of doubts, free from all kind of waverings, free from all kind of attractions, free from all kind of disturbances. There is one word which I am telling you today. Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji has also used this word. When Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji towards the end said, Viveka Prajnam Samadhim Prapsyasi. Means what? There is a word called Prajna. Now, you know, in English, I will have to translate this word as called wisdom. Wisdom actually comes from, wisdom is equal to knowledge plus experience is equal to wisdom in the common parlance. Okay. In that parlance of self, what happens is this person has gained the knowledge from the scripture, and through constant practice of reflecting upon it, has also gained the experience the way a scriptures declare. That's why for such a person, and his subject of prajna, the subject of wisdom is what? Self. And this person gets a clear vision of self even while moving through this entire world of Einsteinian world of time, space and object. This person has got a clear vision of the self, which I told you Viveka in the beginning. Nitya nitya vastu viveka viveka. Nitya vastu ekam brahma tad vyatiriktam sarvam anityam. This wisdom is always enlightened, illuminated in the intellect of such a person. And now remember, with the contextual meaning here, where the actual subject of intellect is not yoga or karma yoga. The actual subject of intellect is self alone. Sankhya buddhi, or the knowledge of Sankhya, arises out of reflection on the knowledge of self. Reflection about the nature of the self as expounded by scriptures. That's, and as Bhagwan explained from verse 11 onwards, when Bhagwan started his journey, you remember that when I said, especially I was thinking about 2.30, 31, 32, 33, 34, all those verses, I spoke about when Bhagwan started the discussion and to resolve Arjun's Vishada, the state which Arjun has fallen into, of self-doubt and, you know, of the kind of Vishada is fallen into. When Bhagwan started to resolve that, the pity of compassion which he fell into, misplaced compassion Arjun fell into, the state of misplaced compassion which Arjun fell into, when Bhagwan started to explain that, Bhagwan started with what? Yathartha Atma first, the true nature of the self first. He spoke about five kinds of self there, five levels, how we can understand the self. If you remember that, recollect that conversation. If not, please go back to that verse and listen to that again. Bhagwan has explained about five levels we can understand self. The first and the topmost level we can understand the self is Yathartha Atma, the true form of the self, which is the supreme consciousness alone. Then the second level Bhagwan spoke about is that if we do not understand and us like that, we can understand us as Jivatma. Jivatma means we are being. We are a being in this whole creation. Jiva, who has the bhav called Jiva, I am a being. Till the time you have the level of a being, you are Jivatma. That's the second level Bhagwan spoke about. The third level Bhagwan spoke about was, if you don't understand yourself as Jiva also, at least you understand yourself as Dehatma. That you are the body. That's the third level many people understand today themselves to be the body. And they think, which is from, you know, one of the things which are expounded in the Charvak philosophy also. They profoundly say in the Charvak philosophy, Bhasmi bhutasya sharirasya punaragamanam kutaha. You know, yavat jivet sukham jivet. As long as you live, you know, through whatever means, try to be happy. You know, bhasmi bhutasya sharirasya punaragamanam kutaha. Once this body dies or is burned, where is the point of we coming back? But that's their own level of understanding. That's not true in the whole cosmos. That's how the Charvaks usually live their life. If you really look, when I'm saying Charvak, most of the people in the world are living at that level. At least they understand themselves to the body. When you understand yourself to the body, that means after body, with body you live, without body you cease to exist. And then you will always run after protecting in yourself from death. I should live longer. I should live permanently. All those efforts are coming from there only. So that's the third level Bhagwan spoke about. If you don't understand yourself with the true self, do you understand yourself to be the Jivatma? If you don't understand yourself to be the Jivatma, do you understand yourself to be the Dehatma? So those three levels there Bhagwan spoke. Then Bhagwan spoke two more levels there from the 2.3031 onwards, where Bhagwan explained, if you don't understand yourself to be in these three, do you at least understand yourself to be the role assigned to you by the society? Like what? You are father, you are son, you are at so much so and so designation, so and so position, you are collector, you are district magistrate, you can name many things. So there also Bhagwan split that into two portions. One is the identification given to us by the society as according to our role, as per our role in the society. The second level is which is coming out of our scriptural definition of us, which is from the Varna Vyavastha, which is Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, which Bhagwan explained there that Arjun, do you at least understand yourself to be a Kshatriya? And those five levels is what Bhagwan spoke about. And you know, when he spoke about that, at that time we explained the purpose is not to get you stuck into any of those levels at all. The purpose of Bhagwan is actually to get you to the top level, which is what the actual understanding of the self. So Bhagwan says, is when your intellect becomes firm in the subject of Sankhya, in the subject of the self, that time, we will call that your intellect has reached a state called Achala or Nishchala. Why Bhagwan is bringing out this state first? Before that, Bhagwan is comparing Shruti Vipratipanna. And this is a very beautiful line. And I told you, when we say Shruti, I can say two ways. Shruti's literal meaning, because when Bhagwan said this verse in Dwapar Yuga, at that time these worldly kind of things were different. So, you know, all the kind of work and everything used to come out of Shruti. Shruti means Vedas. Here, Bhagwan says, let me just pick up the first example first, then I'll come to the next one, which I'm trying to explain you from the Shruti only. Bhagwan says, it is seen commonly that our Vedas at the level of Karmakand and Upasana Kand are not talking about one thing only to be done. They are talking about many, many things can be done and many, many kinds of results can be achieved. Many ways a man can grow horizontally. They seem to expound innumerable ways of growth over there. But remember that growth is horizontal. I'm talking about. So if we see our Shruti, our Vedas, when we say Shruti here, of course, Upanishad also is part of Shruti. But here when we say Shruti, it's talking about Karma Kand and Upasana Kand. It is seen, it is noticed that our Karma Kand of Vedas expounds about different kinds of action which can be done in this creation. And as far as you live here, there are many, many kinds of actions you can take up. All of them have their corresponding results to be achieved also. So looking at the results, you can choose whichever action you want to do. It is commonly seen, our Shruti side like that. Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji puts it so beautifully. I tell you, you know, today is Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji's Jayanti also. What a day to remember. Such a great master he is. I don't think that, you know, without him, we could have understood our scriptures the way scripture wanted to teach us. What a kind of life Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji has lived. In such a short span of life, if what he lived here in this world, he had written Bhashya, which is commentary, on entire all Upanishads, all you know, Granthas, all our, you know, Prasthanatrayi, especially we call it Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, and, you know, Brahma Sutra, without which, you know, understanding the self would have been extremely difficult. Apart from that, he's written so many Prakarana Grantha for students to adapt so that we can grow in the path and we can come up to the level to generate an intellect or develop an intellect to actually understand scriptures. He's written so many Bhakti Granthas also. I do not know what kind of a great master he was. I would only use one word while, you know, expounding upon this commentary also of Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji. Without him, understanding scriptures would have been extremely difficult. You know, the thing is, the entire Sanatan Dharma will remain indebted to him forever for what he has given us, what he has helped us, what he has facilitated for us in terms of understanding the scriptural knowledge. I today, on this day of Shankaracharya ji Jayanti, bow down and offer my humble prostrations unto the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji, one of the greatest of masters available in this whole creation, for what he has given. I seek his grace and blessings upon all of us so that we are able to grow vertically on the path of spirituality and also walk towards God realization. That's my prayer to Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji. Coming to his commentary, Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji beautifully says here, to explain the word Shruti Vipratipanna, Anek Sadhya Sadhana Sambandha Prakashana Shrutibihi Shravanaihi Vipratipanna Nana Pratipanna. By, we see our scriptures, as you know, talk about, our scriptures means our Karma Kand talks about Anek Sadhya Sadhana, talks about many kinds of sadhya, means many kinds of goals which can be chosen, many kind of achievements which can be attained, and sadhana and corresponding process to be followed to attain those results. Sambandha Prakashana Shruti Bihi. Our scriptures are actually, you know, expounding upon so many different kinds of achievements which can be gained in this creation, along with the process which can be followed to gain them, the relation between the process and the goal also, if our scriptures seem to enlighten all of them or put throw light on them for us to read through and follow. Because of that, because shravanaihi, after listening to them, once we have listened to them or after studying them, vipratipanna, nana pratipanna, shruti vipratipanna, our intellect seems to get more confused on which path to follow. Our intellect seems to get deluded. Our intellect seems to get divided which path to follow, which path to choose. It gets into a deluded state. Which one is the ultimate path to choose? Intellect is not able to decide. Bhagavan says, Shruti Vipratipanna, Vikshipta Sati Te Tava Buddhihi. Our mind gets deluded. Our mind gets clouded. Our mind gets overloaded. Our mind gets filled with it. Our intellect, mind means here, Antakaranam. Bhagavan also has said that somewhere, Buddhihi Antakaranam. So, means our Antakaranam, our inner equipment gets crowded with these kind of thoughts, overloaded with these kind of thoughts, that we are not able to decide which path to go. We are not able to formulate what to do and what to choose in life. And we end up trying to spend either in many directions, either in, you know, some directions, either in incorrect directions. We seem to go sway into all these kind of paths. He says, Vikshipta sati te tava buddhihi yada yasmin kale sthasyati. Whenever your intellect or your inner equipment is able to draw away from these kind of things expounded by the Shruti. On this point only I'll bring up what I was talking in the other thing. In the Dwapar Yuga, Bhagavan said Shruti Vipratipanna. When I explain it, I also said we can say Shruti also, we can say Janashruti also. Today, there are not many people who follow Karmakant of Vedas so much that way. And you know, the whole education system has changed so much that, you know, the education of our scriptures, our teaching of our scriptures is also not there. So today when we say Shruti, how do we translate them? We translate them into Janashrutihi. Janashruti means heard from those people who have achieved horizontal growth in this life. You know, I'm also there, so I'm telling you, when you go these days to different platforms, the social media platforms which we talk about, you open any platform, you see there are many people out there doing many different things in many different directions. People do get, you know, excited by that also. People do, some of them get inspired by them also. Oh, some of them follow their path also. They are all doing it. That's why I use the word Janashruti also. Don't only translate this as Shruti means, okay, Bhagavan is talking about Karmakanda of Vedas. I was anyway not following it. So this teaching is not for me. Don't do that foolishness at all. That's not what our scripture and Bhagavan is trying to tell us. We have to translate it into the current world also. When we say Shruti here, you translate it that Janashruti also. When you go to platforms like LinkedIn and all, when people share their achievements, people talk about, you know, different ways of doing it. I also look through LinkedIn, so I can see many people coming up with different models of management, you know, key performance indicators, key marketing, you know, strategies, levels of achievement of people, how to retain talent. I'm just telling you some of the topics that are going on in Janashruti, which I also keep watching. Sometimes I scroll through them whenever I come across them also. There are so many things going on and so many things we talk about, you know, engineering marvels, new product development we talk about. We talk about managing customer service is a different line altogether. How to excel in customer service, how to become an effective CEO, how to become a, you know, effective director, how to own a business. Now there's like what new thing has come up is Shark Tank and other things also have come up. So there are so many Janashrutis going on. You just open a media channel, you open a social media channel, it is filled with them. Yes, the thing which they are doing for us is they are making us more confused in this life. A child, when he comes out from after doing graduation and MBA, after listening to these Janashrutis, it becomes extremely difficult for that kid to decide what to do, where to go, what path to follow. And what has the disaster which has happened today is that earlier in olden days, there used to be somebody called Guru in every family. These days that Guru is gone. People don't want also, they don't, in the, you know, in the moment of ego, they don't want to give importance also to someone. They don't want to call somebody Guru also. They don't, the Guru picture is completely gone. Who do you fall back to advise these days? What, your folks will advise you, their advice is going to be incomplete, or people who are higher up, they will advise you, who may have achieved something. Is their advice complete? No, they don't know the full 360 degree picture of that. They may guide you to some extent, but after that you are on your own. Who will give you 360 degree advice looking at the creation, what to do, what not to do? Those days Guru used to be available to every family. If I look at the days of Ramayana, Vashishji and Vishwamitriji was there in the assembly of Dasharathji to guide them. And they always used to fall back upon a Guru to actually be taken advice. These days that thing is gone. Now Guru also, people also don't want earned Gurus, and no, Gurus have gone into their own silos also from there, that point of time. The thing is, who is that master who can give us an advice? So just think, I'm just told you, if Bhagwan Shankaracharya would not have you know, written Bhashya, I think how will we even interpret a verse, so to say? It is extremely difficult. That's the role Guru plays. I'm telling you, by God's grace, one of the best thing which has happened in my life, I do not know if I've done any punya to get there also. Oh, I feel I have done nothing to there. It's only grace of God, or that I reached a Guru who could guide and who could tailor my life, who could channelize my life in a particular direction. I reached a Guru who could guide me, who could teach me what is to be taught and what is to be known in this world. Otherwise, I was also in corporate for many years. The thing is, Bhagwan says, what happens with this Shruti and, you know, Janashruti and other Shruti? Our intellect tends to become deluded in the terms of choosing one particular path, choosing one particular goal. We are filled with so many paths to follow that becomes extremely difficult to go and abide in one. I'm telling you one more thing here, or, you know, a little bit side of this conversation I'm telling you, while it is related to this, I'm saying, even in the terms of spiritual education, you see, there are so many things available on the social media platforms, so many things. I cannot guarantee about authenticity of anyone, though. I'm not talking about the authenticity or not. When we choose, we must choose our source well, because ultimately it is going to fill our intellect with knowledge. And at the time of filling up, if you've not chosen the source correctly, if the knowledge is wrong knowledge will get filled in the intellect, and it will be extremely difficult to come out of that level. It will be extremely difficult to wipe clear something to come back to the correct one. You know, if we have no knowledge, getting knowledge is still easier. Of course, we need the qualifications. But if you have wrong knowledge, correcting it is extremely difficult. I don't have to go anywhere. You just look through your own life. You must have come across many such situations in your life. So we must choose our source well. Bhagwan says, Vikshipta Sati, our intellect becomes clouded, our intellect becomes deluded, our buddhi becomes deluded and overloaded with all these kind of different directions, different achievements. Janashruti and Shruti both talk about Yada Yasmin Kale Sthasyati, whichever point in time your intellect is able to free yourself from that level of all these different paths expounded by the Shruti also, Janashruti also, and is able to sthiri bhuta bhavishyati, is able to become firm on one particular goal, is able to become concentrated on one particular goal, is able to become completely focused on one particular goal in life, other things, all temporary goals will come out of my permanent goal. And those temporary goals which don't help me reach the final goal, I'll give them up. Even if it is you know, my duty also, I'll give them up. Of that firm belief, this firm faith, this intellect has reached, yada yasmin kale stas, in whichever point in time your intellect gets fixed like that, stiri bhuta bhavishyati, then Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji explains nischala. What does nischala means? Vikshepa chalana varjita. If I recollect in the last session when I was telling you what Gurudev mentioned, and then I told you about two things over there which Gurudev explained: avarana shakti and vikshepa shakti. What did I explain there as avarana shakti? Avarana shakti is that which veils my knowledge of the self, which veils the reality of the self. Because the reality of or the truth is veiled, what happens? Mind gets into vikshepa. Vikshepa means projection. Because the self is hidden or the self is veiled, or my knowledge is veiled about the self, my mind gets into projecting. What does it project? The entire world, Einsteinian world of time, space and objects. Vikshep means projection. Here Bhagwan says nischala means vikshepa chalana varjita sati. When your mind stops to project and stops to make an effort to project, or stops to run after projected things. Vikshepa chalana varjita. Chalana means to move. It stops moving from the projected world. It stops moving or gushing out into the projected world. When it stops means what? Remember, it will not just stop like that. It has to first become firm somewhere to stop this. That is what this entire verse is all about. Mind cannot be left blank. Don't think that I will remove the entire world and I sit. Try and sit then. It's not possible. Mind has to be fixed first before it can be moved away from all those things where it went, which it went after. So Bhagwan says, Vikshepa chalana varjita sati samadhau. That is what is called. Where will it place itself? It will place itself in Atman, in the Supreme Consciousness. Samadhiyate chittam asmin iti samadhihi. Where the mind and intellect becomes quietened. Sama adhiyate, it becomes completely quiet, peaceful. It becomes completely filled with that state of quietude and peacefulness. That is what is called samadhiyate chittam asmin iti samadhihi atma. Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji very beautifully says, that is possible only in the Supreme Consciousness, or which we call God, Supreme Consciousness, Bhagavan Krishna, we call about, tasmin atmani iti etat. That means, where is that samadhi attained? In that self or Supreme Consciousness, that can be only the self, iti etat. Achala tatrapi vikalpa varjita iti etat. Then samadhi, achala means vikalpa varjita. It stops running after different vikalpa means I can do this, I can do that. Of the different kind of options is called vikalpa. Vikalpa is called options. Vikalpa varjita sati. All the different options quietens in the intellect of such a person. All the different options lose the attracting power, lose their ability to attract this person. All the different subjects and objects, all the different objects, all the things in the world stops pulling this person towards it into action. Buddhihi vikalpa varjita iti etat. Buddhihi antakaranam. Buddhi means antakaranam here. Te tava buddhihi. Tada tasmin kale, at that point itself, at that point in time itself, yogam avapsyasi. You should say that you have, that person must have attained the state of yoga. Yoga means, what did I say? Yoga has attained the Supreme Consciousness, is what is meant by the word called yoga here. He says, विवेक प्रज्ञाम समाधिम प्राप्स्यसि. ओह वाव ब्यूटीफुल. व्हेन वी यूज द वर्ड प्रज्ञा ना, आई मस्ट से वी कैन आल्सो ट्रांसलेट दिस वर्ड एज प्रमा. Prama means prakarshinama, when the knowledge happens firm in your intellect, means that it has reached a state that all the doubts are clarified. Nothing in this world, no word of this world can shake this intellect's firm faith in the subject of the self. The knowledge is completely established, and his buddhi, his or her buddhi is established in that knowledge. No other things, no other explanations outside can actually waver this person's intellect, can move this person's intellect, or create confusion in the intellect of such a person. So, that is what is called here. Bhagwan says, Yogam Avapsyasi. That's the level which Bhagwan is talking about, that this person has reached a stage that he has attained what is called perfect unison with the actual self. Thing I was coming to is that prajna can also be translated as prama. Prama means abaditam asandigdam, where the knowledge or the knowledge or the experience is abaditam, is free from all kind of blockages. Asandigdam is free or devoid of all kinds of doubt. Sandigd means all kind of doubts. It's free from all kind of doubts. It's free from all kind of blockages. There is nothing which blocks this knowledge from actually moving towards the path, performing or acting towards the path. Viveka prajnam samadhim prapsyasi. Such a person has attained this wisdom or viveka prajnam. Viveka prajnam, which is also translated as samadhi. Now, one thing I also wanted to say. Samadhi is very, literally translated as meditation. Meditation in here. So remember that, every meditation is not actually samadhi. All the meditations which we know of in the world today, the worldly parlance I'm talking about, they are only practiced to generate concentration and focus of mind. It's only to make our mind fixed on something. Okay. So That's what is meant by actually the meditation, which is translated in the literal world. So Bhagwan says is in here, tada buddhim tada yogam avapsyasi samadhava chala buddhihi tada yogam avapsyasi. That person is going to attain such a state. When a knowledge is there and the doubt is also there, it is actually meaningless. You won't be able to believe or have faith or trust in such a knowledge. We all want to attain such a state where we want to move out of this state called Shruti Vipratipanna, from all that which is expounded upon in the particular world. What is the ripened state of a yoga buddhi or a karma yoga buddhi? The ripened state of karma yoga buddhi is that a seeker crosses over the mire of delusion and reaches a state called dispassion. But what is the ripened state of sankhya buddhi? When all these different statements of levels of achievements which Shruti talks about, Janashruti and the Shruti talks about, the different kinds of debates and discussions which happen around, different kinds of paths which are expounded upon by different kinds of people, my intellect doesn't fall for them, my intellect crosses over them, and what, in the subject of the self or God, I have got a firm understanding, firm faith in who God is. In the subject of self, it is so strong that these different kinds of differing opinions of the world, differing opinions of the Shruti or the scriptures or the Karmakand also does not shake me from my level. Also does not excite me from that level. That level is called actually Yogam Avapsyasi, is reached such a level. This is the pinnacle of achievement of person of Sankhya Buddhi. So a person of yoga buddhi, he will attain where? A person of yoga buddhi, he his state of achievement or the final achievement is become nirved. Nirved means will attain something called dispassion. And then the person of Sankhya Buddhi or the person of the knowledge of Sankhya, his state of achievement is what? He will attain something called Viveka Prajna, a correct and pure understanding about the self, a pure vision of the self. Such a person becomes a blessing on the society. Such a person becomes a blessing for the creation. Such a person becomes a blessing for his students. Such a person becomes a blessing for this whole creation. He's attained that level of self, attained the self. That is what is meant by attaining Viveka Prajnam. It means that he's got a clear vision of the self. In this way, Bhagwan, after expounding upon the two kinds of the achievements of a person of Karma Yoga and of a person of Sankhya Yoga, now one beautiful aspect I want to bring out before I complete the session for today. You see the beauty of Arjun. Bhagwan has given the knowledge till now, and just remember where Arjun started when he started this entire Bhagavad Gita, first chapter. He was full of misplaced compassion, deluded about his duties, was not having any zeal to perform, or had no zeal to actually fight the war, for which the entire Pandava clan have been preparing for years, for decades they have been preparing. That war he lost interest in, even though he was a perfect Kshatriya to fight the war. Now you see the beauty, that state Arjun started with and where Arjun has reached now. You know, from this, immediately after this point, when Bhagwan has completed his teaching of, explaining the entire thing, what he wanted to teach, you see the beauty of Arjun's question. Arjun has forgotten about the war. You see the focus of Arjun. I'm telling you, I must bring out your attention to this. It is worth appreciating. I told you, what we achieve spiritually is one thing. If any one of us can make attempt to become, adapt things which Arjun could be, adapt the qualities of Arjun in even some portions, I'm telling you, we'll become dhanya, we'll become blessed already. You see Arjun's jigyasa means his interest, you see. He has completely forgotten about the war. He asks a question to Bhagwan in the next verse, which is verse number 54, which we will start today and we will see the detailed meaning in the next session. But his question is not pertaining to the war. His question is not pertaining to the Vishad also he spoke about. He says, Bhagwan, you spoke about something called a man of realization. This topic excites me. Let's read the verse and we'll see the literal meaning today and we'll see the detailed meaning in the next session. Arjuna uvacha sthita prajnasya ka bhasha samadhisthasya keshava sthita dhikim prabhasheta किमासीत व्रजेत किम स्थित अर्जुन उवाच स्थित प्रज्ञस्य का भाषा समाधिस्थस्य केशव स्थित धि किम प्रभाषेत किमासीत व्रजेत किम. What a beauty dear Arjun has shown. Just see the attentiveness of Arjun, so focused on the topic being taught, army ready to fight is standing on both the sides. Conches have been blown any time war can start. And why I'm highlighting this war again? A situation of war is such, it's a ghor, it's a very kind of a severe environment. You can't, there are armies standing on both sides. We don't know anytime what can happen, who dies, who lives, who walks out with all parts of his body also, nobody knows. It's a severe situation. In such a severe situation, you see the beauty of Arjun. What kind of a focus he has got. No wonder Bhagwan chose him to give Bhagavad Gita. I don't think, you know, we can find a better student for Bhagavad Gita than Arjun. What kind of a student, my God. Suddenly when I'm talking this, I'm recollecting that event which happened in Mahabharata when Dronacharya was asked by Duryodhan that you are so biased towards Arjun that you are actually bent towards him. You are not doing your duty correctly. Dronacharya said, it's not like that. I'm a teacher. I don't do bias between students at all. Now the beauty you see, and Dronacharya ji knew that, you know, if whatever I can say, Duryodhan is not going to believe me because he doesn't have the right correct amount of faith only. So Dronacharya ji called everyone and did a test, and he hung a fish in one of the branch of the tree, and he called Duryodhan first, and he called everyone of the Kauravas and asked them, what do you see? They said, you know, we see the sky. We see the, you know, birds flying in the sky. We see the tree. We see that. And at the end, they came to that. When Arjun was called, Arjun was asked, Arjun, what do you see? Arjun said, because Dronacharya told to shoot the eye of the fish by looking in the reflected image in a bowl of water below the tree. He said that. So he asked Arjun, Arjun, what do you see? Arjun said, the eye of the fish. Now what do you see? Eye of the fish. Now what do you see? Eye of the fish. No wonder Arjun was a deserving candidate for giving Bhagavad Gita. Now the thing is, why I brought it up is that many people, even after going to ashram also, attending satsangs also, you know, in a peaceful environment also, many people don't grasp the subject of the self. One thing I told you many times, definitely, yes, for you to understand, you must remember one thing. For you to get, you must give first. Getting happens from giving. That's a very important thing. You know, in the scriptural world, in the world of Guru and Shishya, the Shishya does the seva of Guru to get the Gyan. So the seva, so it is. So when Arjun said that, I see only the eye of the fish, Dronacharya ji looked at all these students. Now you know why Arjun gets everything from me. It's not that I am biased. It's that he is too qualified. It's not about the bias at all. It's his devotion. He's got perfect devotion towards Dronacharya. He's got perfect devotion towards Bhagwan. He's got perfect devotion towards what he's doing. His intellect is par excellence, I would use the word. So you see the beauty of Arjun. Arjun translates this knowledge of what Bhagwan gave in the last verse especially. And Arjun coins three terms, three words for the person to be called who has already gained what Bhagwan said in verse number 53 of the Man of Realization. You see the beauty. Arjun says, Bhagwan, you're saying in an intellect which has reached such a level, or prajna, what you call it, viveka prajna, once your intellect becomes firm in this, and your intellect should become firm, once your intellect becomes firm, you reach such a state. That means the firmness of intellect is a position you want us to achieve, right? Is that something which should come to us? It's the firmness of intellect has to come first, right? For us to achieve the yogam avapsasi, which you said. So first a person achieves the firmness of intellect in the particular thing, in the self, and then only the yogam avapsasi happens, then only the realization happens, right? This is what you are trying to say, even though you mean that the intellect has to be firm. So that means it is a situation which we all must work towards, right, Bhagwan? A prajna or viveka prajna, what Bhagwan Shankaracharya translated, is a position, is an attainment we all should work up towards. Till the time intellect has not become firm, till that time, till that moment, seeker does not gain anything big. Right? In scripture also it is said, Tarati Shokam Atmaved. Our scriptures say that a person who has attained firm abidance in the self, Atmavit, who has become equipoised in the self, who has become attained the unison with the self, who has become, had got firm abidance in the self, Tarati Shokam, that person crosses over all kind of sorrows. Every sorrow is crossed over by such a person. That's the kind of a benefit such a person gains, right? Then Arjun coins, that means Bhagwan, such a person who has achieved such a state, I will use three terms for them. He uses three terms from the verse, I'm picking it up. Sthita Prajna, Samadhistha, Sthita Dhihi. These are the three terms which Arjun uses for a man of realization for whom Bhagwan said Yogam Avapsyasi in the 53rd verse. Okay. So Arjun says, Bhagwan, and according to exactly the conversation which is going around in the 53rd shloka, in the teaching which Bhagwan gave in the 53rd verse, Arjun asks a question pertinent to that. Arjun asks Bhagwan that question. Before that, I will connect Bhagwan Shankaracharya's Bhashya to this verse before we move on to that. Bhagwan Shankaracharya says, Prashna Bijam Pratilabhya Arjuna Uvacha Labdha Samadhi Prajnasya Lakshana Bhubutsya. After getting the seed of knowledge, after getting the seed for a question, Arjun utilized that seed very well. He's already got a seed because Bhagwan has explained so many things from 11 onwards up to 53. After getting the correct seed of a question, Arjun asks a pertinent question, he just waters that seed and, you know, sprouts out into a question. You know, what are the kind of properties which a person who has achieved the self will display in this world? Labdha Samadhi Prajna, so that person who has attained Samadhi Prajna, Samadhi Prajna means attained the unison with the self, has realized the self, one who has attained that, Lakshana Bhubutsaya, I want to know, I have a desire to know the properties displayed by such a person when this person moves around in the world. With that is the question which Arjun asks. Arjun asks the question and says that, you know, you, Bhagwan, in Shankaracharya says there in terms of connection also, you may now ask, when shall I attain the true conviction of the self? Will it be after crossing beyond the veil of ignorance and obtain wisdom through the discrimination of the self and the not self? Arjun says, Bhagwan, when your intellect, though perplexed by what you have heard and listened to, has reached that state, Bhagwan, what is the kind of a person and who will achieve this? Is Bhagwan and Shankaracharya has connected that, saying that, linking up this stanza with the next one, Shankara says, anxious to know the characteristic features of the one whose intellect has come to equipoise, he asks this question as soon as he gets a chance to interrogate. Bhagwan listens to this question. Bhagwan has seen Arjun has got this desire to know. So Arjun asks, what, O Keshava? Keshava is an address to Bhagwan Krishna. O Keshava, Keshava is Sambodhana Prathama there. What, O Keshava, is the description of him who has steady wisdom, Sthita Prajna, and Samadhisthasya, and who is merged in the supreme conscious state? Then Arjun says, Sthitadhi kim prabhasheta kim asita vrajeta kim. How does one person of steady wisdom, how does he or she speak? How does he or she sit? How does he or she walk? Means Arjun is wanting to know, how do I identify such a person? Is there such a person available? You know, is that something which is there? Is that something which we can know? So Arjun in that at spree is wanting to know, Bhagwan, who is this person who has achieved this kind of an intellect? I want to know the properties of such a person, and which we'll see in the next session. Before I complete the session for today, I wish you all a very happy Bhagwan Shankaracharya Ji Jayanti. May Bhagwan Shankaracharya Ji and his Bhashya And his commentaries bless us to know the self and realize who God is and walk piece by piece towards God in this life itself. May he bless us to make our this particular life fruitful in terms of what it should achieve in a human life. Kayena vacha manasendriyairva buddhyatmanava prakrite swabhavat karomi adya sakalam parasmai narayanaeti samarpayami shriman narayanaeti samarpayami om purnamadah purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vashishyate om shanti shantihi shantihi harihi om shri gurubhyo namaha harihi om om tat sat.